Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
There's good news after a conservative actor is fired by Disney for, well, being conservative. A listener and patron of this podcast is on the inside and is seeing all the cancellations Disney's getting for their streaming service. We can't really tell you who he is or where he lives, but you got to hear what conservatives are doing to fight back peacefully. A Lutheran university in Indiana is changing its mascot name because they think people may associate them with the KKK. What? This school may have an interim president looking for fame. A bunch of really funny people on social media are crediting Joe Biden for 60,000 COVID deaths in his first 3 weeks. I think you know what this is about. The left blamed Trump for all the deaths in 2020. You can sort of see the humor here, even though it's a serious topic. Fact is, only 6% of all deaths of people with COVID are COVID only. This is not Biden's fault. Hey, I'm still predicting a tournament seeding that would have KU and MU meeting in the second round this year. As KU seems to be getting healthier and a little bit better as the schedule is eased up, does Missouri really want to play KU? Missouri would likely be the higher seed and favored. We'll discuss. The Daytona 500 is Sunday. One driver owns a team with Michael Jordan, but races for another. This would be a little bit like Patrick Mahomes owning half of the Denver Broncos. Strange. And a Royals postseason hero is back in Kansas City to play ball this summer for the all-new Monarchs. It's all ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Elite Automation. Elite Automation is a great Kansas City company that does business all over the country with folks who have office buildings, churches, schools. They set up control systems for your HVAC that's going to save you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every month. I really don't know why anybody wouldn't make this call. I don't know why you wouldn't call them. If you run a warehouse or any kind of a building in Kansas City or anywhere for that matter, you got to contact these folks. And if you don't really want to put the capital investment or have the capital to put in to the system at this point, they'll just do consulting for you for a percentage. It costs you nothing. They'll come look at your building. They'll tell you what could be done better, how you can save money. And when you save money, Elite gets a portion of that. That's free to you. It's going to save you money guaranteed. And you just pay a percentage to Elite. They're online at EliteAutomate.com. That's EliteAutomate.com. Check them out. They are so good at what they do, and they will save you and your company money. Back9Development.com, the Midwest's finest custom builder. They're a licensed general contractor. They can do all kinds of stuff. They can do custom homes. They do all kinds of retail developments. And right now, they're working on a condo project in Manhattan, the Solheim at Grand Mere. These are gorgeous upscale condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Perfect for your college kids, a second home, or just an investment property. Yes, you can do this. They're taking commitments right now on these upscale condos with all kinds of beautiful features, including a resort-style pool, clubhouse, elevators, covered parking, you name it. It's very unique to the area. There really isn't any place in the Midwest like this where you can get a great golf course condo upscale. You can do it right now at the beautiful Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. Back9Development.com is the website. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Or call TJ and say you'd like more information, 785-236-0161. And don't forget, they can custom build for you too. If you're considering building a home, back9development.com is the way to go. Back9development.com, it's the numeral 9. And Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. We rolled around in the Sierra Denali yesterday, me and the missus. It is comfortable. It's awesome. There's so much to like. If you are looking for a truck, I can't recommend anybody more highly than Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. All the Chevy models are there, all the GMC. Of course, they've got tons of SUVs as well. And the Buick line of luxury SUVs is really, really nice. You may want to look at those. Shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com. I never knew how easy a truck was to drive. I always saw these big trucks, and I thought, wow, that's just a little too big for me. Boy, when you're just tooling around town, it's just so comfortable. Those seats are so nice and leathery. It's a gorgeous truck, man. The GMC Sierra Denali is something special. If you want to check one out, get to Roberts Robinson in Excelsior Springs. Mike promises me, so I can promise you, you'll never be treated better than these folks treat you, period. That's just the way it works at Roberts Robinson. We just make it easy. It's a great thing. RobertsRobinson.com online with GMC. We are professional grade. All right, good news. Conservatives are fighting back with their pocketbooks against corporations that are canceling other conservatives. Hit it.
The B-Stock Electronics Outlet Store is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at bstock.net.
Let's start with some positivity on this Friday to get you ready for your weekend, and I'm talking about fighting back, not in a literal sense, in a figurative sense, not in a physical sense, a confrontational sense, or anything like that, but I'm talking about fighting back for what you believe in, fighting back for free speech, and the ability to be a conservative in America without being the perhaps only openly discriminated against group that remains in the United States, that it is okay to have an onslaught against conservatives. And I really like this story. I mentioned briefly on the podcast Thursday that there is an actress named Gina Carano. I'm botching the name. It doesn't matter. I don't know her, and I don't watch The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. I don't have Disney Plus. And I don't subscribe to a lot of these streaming services because I know how ridiculously liberal the parent companies are and what they stand for and what they're trying to cancel in America and what they're trying to do to our lives. And that's in part, you know, I like entertainment. I'd like to see some of the entertainment. I don't want a bunch of, you know, left-wing entertainment shoved down my throat, but I don't know that Star Wars is specifically that. They certainly have moved left compared to what they were initially. I mean, it was good versus evil. It was very clear early on in the first Star Wars movie. It was good versus, it's gotten blurred. It's blurred. It's more global. It's international. It's all the things that liberals want. And they have moved in that direction. A lot of Star Wars fans that love the originals have complained about that sort of thing. But I'm no Star Wars expert, so I'm not even going to go there on that. I just know they canceled and fired this Gina Carano because she's a conservative. And she had made some comments on social media that were not, you know, she's not on there busting out the N-word. She's not, would they be controversial? Are they thought-provoking? They could be. They could be construed as that. Maybe she's an expert on history. Maybe she knows more about some of these things. And when she posts some of these things, it's very interesting to go back and try to read and decide for yourself, is she right? What kind of point does she make? Her main point is the cancellation of conservatives in the United States is a dangerous thing for this country. And other countries that have done this, other countries that have squashed one side of the political spectrum, have turned into basically dictatorships or totalitarian societies. And she's very concerned about that. And so this gets her fired from being on The Mandalorian, which is a Star Wars series on Disney Plus. And I didn't spend a lot of time on it yesterday, but apparently a lot of people have noticed this. This is a very, very popular show. It's really the reason people subscribe to Disney Plus. It's the main reason. It's not the only reason, but it is absolutely the main reason. It's their biggest draw. They own the Star Wars franchise. They're doing a series there. It's apparently very well made and very popular, and people will pay the money to Disney Plus to have that and the other things in the Disney catalog. I get it. I understand it. I know why people would do that. But then they see this, and they say there's a bigger cause. And so I briefly mentioned this yesterday. It became a much bigger story. Senator Ted Cruz is out there backing her and supporting her. A lot of people are supporting her in what she has stood for and what she has said, and that she should not be fired from her job with Disney Plus because of her political views, which clearly is the case. So I received an email yesterday from a listener to the podcast, and I'm not going to give the name, and I'm not going to give the name of the town in Missouri where this person lives. It is outside the Kansas City area. That's really all I can tell you. And this person wrote to me and said, "Hey, Kevin, I work the phones for Disney Plus. And I don't know if you've heard that Gina's being canceled for being conservative." So he had not listened to the podcast yet. He said, "I'm mailing you because it's conservatives calling in today to cancel their subscriptions because Disney is squashing free speech. I thought you might find it interesting." And I emailed him back. I said, "Well, that's great. I mentioned it on today's podcast. How many people are canceling and where do you live and work?" And he says, "Well, I live blank. There are thousands canceling because of this. Our site called the results company, but I work from home. I'm a patron of the podcast. I love your podcast, and I look forward to the next get-together. We're going to get together and watch some college basketball here in a few weeks. We're going to have a patron party, so we'll do that. But I really don't want to say who he is, where he lives, and what he does. I don't think that would be fair in any way, but I wanted you to know this is the best news of the week. This is what I'm talking about, and I know it's very difficult for a lot of us to withstand what people say, think, and do to us because of our beliefs. And we can't do that. We can't. If you think about the history of this country and the loss of life and the bloodshed defending our land and our freedoms and our principles and the number of people, great patriotic Americans that have fought victoriously and have been injured or died in victory in order to preserve the rights of things as simple as and outrageous as burning the American flag, which we have fought for, and we have learned to understand that's part of the deal. We love this country and what she stands for so much, we will do anything for her to protect her as the world's greatest country, as American greatness and exceptionalism, as the number one military power and the number one economic power on this globe. We understand the sacrifices to do that, and we understand that even when we do that, we're protecting people's rights that do not agree, that do not want America to be the best, that will burn the flag, that want to be violent, that want to be complainers, that have a grievance, that all they want to do is focus on negative things. We are protecting their rights too. While we do that, it is important at this time when Democrats have control and they're taking us on a socialist path, it is important to remember we have to keep spreading. This is a little bit like a religion. We got to spread the good news. We have to spread the good news. This will not make it in the media. This will not be some lead on CNN that Disney Plus is losing tens of thousands of subscribers this week because this woman was canceled from The Mandalorian. We can't get it onto CNN. We can't get it onto, you know, the liberal tech platforms. It won't be out there. It just won't. You can't get it there. We have to do this ourselves. We have to be foot soldiers. You have to tell the people you know. Tell the people in your circle. This man has done his job. He did his part. He let me know. I've got an audience. It's not the biggest audience in the world, but it's a good audience. And if we all go out and tell somebody that this happened, it will spread. Get on social media. I know you hate social media. I know you hate Twitter. Gab isn't much of a forum. I got on Gab. It doesn't look like it's much. I'm waiting for Parler to come back, but I'm still on Twitter. And I know you hate Twitter, but get on Twitter and post conservative stuff. Get on Twitter and just retweet my stuff or Chris DeGaulle's or Pete Mundo or guys in this town that are out there doing it. Retweet other people's stuff. You don't have to tweet. Get on there and push some of these topics. Get yourself a handle. Don't worry about how many followers you have. If you get 10 followers, that's great. If you get 100, even better. But retweet a lot of this stuff. Spread the word. That's what this is about. Twitter is 80% liberal now. It's 80% liberal content, 80% liberal users. The good news is only 21% of Americans are on Twitter. 79% of the people aren't. But this is an area for growth for us. And while you may think you're helping a company that is left-leaning, that could be true. But if we all gather hundreds of thousands or into the millions and get on that platform and just start retweeting other people's conservative tweets, you can own the format. They can't cancel everyone. They are in business. And if you don't say something outrageous and you don't get canceled, just retweet stuff. Go do it. I'm on Twitter at KK Has Issues. I know most of you are not on Twitter. I know this. I know most of you are not. You don't like it, but just follow and read conservative people. Don't let the other stuff in. You can manage your account on Twitter to where all you get is, you know, the sports teams you love. Follow those. Follow conservative politics. Follow me. And just retweet the living daylights out of it. It'll get spread around. It will make a difference. There's no reason to just walk away from it. And I know, listen, Twitter's going to make money anyway. Their stock is up. I know you hate what they did to Trump, all this stuff. But there is a way to fight back, not in a physical sense. There's a way to do this over the next 4 years. It's information. It's getting the word out. It's fighting back in a way. It's letting people know that this woman got canceled by Disney Plus, and there is a call center somewhere in Missouri where thousands of people are calling in and canceling their Disney Plus subscriptions. Thousands of people. And I don't know what that number is. My guess is it's going to be a big number. My guess is they've heard it at the corporate office loud and clear that it is a significant amount of money. Even though they're a multi-billion dollar business, it's a significant amount of money. And if it is a significant amount of money, and if it's enough people, they will learn we really can't do this. We can put out a press statement that say, you know, we're disappointed and Disney Corporation doesn't agree with the political beliefs of people who work for Disney Plus, we don't endorse necessarily agree or disagree. We don't endorse, but we believe in free speech and dialogue and things like that. That would be total progress in this country. Let's get these companies to where that's what they're saying. Is we don't endorse or believe or not believe in anything people individually say, but we believe in the right to free speech. And if it's not over the line offensive, we support all views, which is what they say on the left, that they're inclusive and they support all views, but they just completely discriminate and cancel against conservatives. It's the last thing left. It's the last thing left that you can have open bias against. Truly, it is. It's okay to have it. And we got to fight back. And the way to fight back is just like this person has done. Let people know when you see things, hear things, send letters to the editor of the Star, call Channel 4 or one of the TV stations. Let them know when you see something good that's happened for conservatives or a good conservative cause making a difference in the community. Let people know. Spread the word. Get out there and help. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to start a business. You don't have to do any of that. Just make a difference. Text your friends. Again, get on Twitter. Retweet conservative things. Just be involved. Somehow, some way, be involved. And this is the best news ever. I love the fact that Disney took a hit over canceling her. And that is the best that social media can be. And I suspect that's where it started. There were probably some groups on social media somewhere that said, hey, drop your subscription. At least for now. And I don't know if The Mandalorian is in some sort of a hiatus at this point or what. Maybe it's easier to cancel, even if you just cancel for a few months and you still want The Mandalorian. Or maybe you can stream and buy The Mandalorian later down the road and not pay the streaming service. There's a lot of different ways to fight back. And I just encourage all of you somehow to get involved and do that. It's going to make a big difference. You really can make a difference in this day and age. It's different than it used to be. You know, standing on a street corner and hollering for a cause is not as good as getting on your computer, your phone, a social media platform, writing something funny. Maybe you see a video. Maybe you record a video. Maybe it's just a cute little video of a child or a dog or a grandchild, and you post it with, you know, some conservative words. You don't say you're conservative, but something that is Americana, something that is red, white, and blue. Put it on there. Let people see it. It helps. It makes a difference. There is no difference in the status of little Ariel, the 5-year-old girl that's in the hospital at Children's Mercy. There's no change. There's been a letter written by the person who started the GoFundMe page. They're closing in on $500,000 in, I think the average is about $30. The donations are about $30 each, if I have this right. They're starting to pour in from all over the country and all over the world now, which is amazing. There just is no change or advancement in the story, so I'm not going to spend much time here. If you want to know my thoughts on what has transpired and where this is going, listen to yesterday's podcast if you haven't heard it yet. And the headline there is Britt Reid should never have been a coach for the Chiefs. That's the one you want to listen to. And again, there's one you want to send and share with your friends. I think we can make a difference in our community. I've always thought if we can help change the hiring practices of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think this is important, if we can help change the culture of that organization from what they have been for decades, if we can help, we can better our community. We can do better things. And I'm disgusted because I know them to be a conservative organization and owned by conservatives. And it makes me sick that they just discard these things and say, something bad could happen. No big deal. We got to win games. I want to win games too. But make a difference somehow in your community if you can. No change with little Ariel. Valparaiso is a private religious Lutheran school in Indiana. They have an interim president. Her name is Colette Irvin Knott. I think she's trying to be famous. I'm a little torn on this. This is the instant reaction here to Valpo taking away their mascot and their name. They're the Crusaders. Well, we all know about the Crusades. We know the definition of a Crusader is a person who campaigns vigorously for political, social, or religious change, a campaigner. So the Lutherans were Crusaders. They wanted people to be Lutheran. That's pretty much the point of the church and the school is, here's our religion, all are welcome, we want you to believe in our religion. We believe wholly that this is the word of God, and this is what we want you to think and believe. That's the idea of a church. It's really the idea of any church. The idea of any religion or church is to have a big tent, bring in as many people as you can, and have them believe in your religion, subscribe to your religion. That's it. And every religion that ever was had a goal of getting bigger. Again, spread the word. It's the same kind of thing with conservatism. This is the goal of the Lutheran ethos, which is her words. Anyway, this interim president, Colette Irvin Knott, has dumped the mascot, dumped the name. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. She, as the interim president of the university, says that they now see a negative connotation to the term crusader. And I won't disagree with that. I think sometimes people can think of a crusader as an overly religious person. I do not think of Democrats or Republicans as crusaders. I don't think of BLM or the Proud Boys as crusaders. I attach the word crusader to religion, mostly, but that's not the perfect definition of it. It certainly could stand for political or social change as well. You're a campaigner. I think of it through history as a religious term, more or less. This is a religious school. I can't believe they're going away from it, but I do understand that there is in our society a negative connotation to the term crusader. So I'm a little bit in the middle on this, but I do think she's mostly just trying to be famous, mostly trying to garner attention for her school, and mostly just trying to pile in the cancel culture. Because even if you're a Lutheran school, even if you're a religious school, your professors and your administration almost certainly are liberal at almost any place you look. 90-some percent of the schools are that way. And when I listen to her and when I see her, I won't swear that she's a liberal, but she certainly looks and sounds like one to me. Here is her reasoning for taking away the name, the mascot, and everything Crusaders from Valparaiso University.
The negative connotation associated with the Crusader is not reflective of Valpo's mission and values, which promote a welcoming and inclusive community. We have therefore decided to retire the Crusader mascot. I've heard from many of you, and I understand not all of you will be in favor of this decision. However, as it is clear that the Crusader has been associated with hate groups and hate speech, I know we can all agree that this is not representative of Valparaiso University and our values. A real strength of our Valpo community is to come together to have dialogue across our differences, and I encourage us to do this respectfully. We remain committed to building an inclusive campus where individuals of all beliefs and cultures are welcome. Valpo is a faith-based institution, and we want to make sure our mascot is in alignment with our beliefs and speaks to the core values of the Lutheran ethos, rather than being a symbol of division.
Colette Irvin Knott, the interim president at Valpo. Caitlin Steinhauser is the president of the student body. She says they support it. When I watched her little speech online, all I could think of is these kids are getting brainwashed at Valpo. She's talking about social change and all this other stuff. So here you have a religious university with a liberal student body president that wants to get rid of the name because somehow it's associated with the KKK. I don't know anybody that would have heard the term crusader and thought KKK. I just don't. But if that's the way they think and that's what they wake up thinking about every day, my God, what a miserable existence. What a horrible way to journey through life, waking up every morning and trying to find the bad. Are you serious? Okay, here's my school. It's Valparaiso. We're the Crusaders. I came to this religious school. Okay, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? I got to find something wrong with this. There's got to be something wrong with it. Oh my God, the KKK. Somebody said the KKK has a newsletter they put out called the Crusader. We have to change our name. I would ask you this, and I don't know the answer. I'm not a theologist. I'm not an expert in these areas. I am not. But I've had a saying for a long time. I think sometimes people go so far right that they're left. And sometimes people go so far left that they're right. I won't go into great detail. I have a couple of relatives that I dearly love. And they, I believe, for the most part, vote Democrat because of the environment. They love the earth. They love the planet. And that's, they vote that way. And sometimes I feel like on a couple things, they're so far left, they're right. They're almost, if I gave them that little quiz of 10 or 12 questions, where you answer these 12 things, 8 of them would come up conservative easily. At least eight of them. Okay? Their two biggest issues probably are the earth and legalizing pot. To be honest, I mean, that's it. That's the two biggest ones. And so I'm amazed by that when people find their home for reasons like that under the Democrat Party. I'm amazed because every other issue they're conservative on, but those issues just aren't as important to them as the earth and legalizing pot. And so that's where they vote. It's unbelievable. It's a strange, strange deal. But again, this is where if we spread the word, and I do believe there will be a time in my life where these people vote Republican. I think that's coming. Or conservative. I do. I think it's coming because I think marijuana is going to be legalized everywhere. So it's going to scratch that one. And I think in time, you realize that the last 4 years under Trump, our environment improved better than any other country on earth. I mean, we just crushed it. He did great. Even while more fossil fuels were being used, because it's good for jobs, good for our economy, good for our national defense, good for all these things, we cleaned it up even more over the last 4 years. There's nothing that says Republicans can't clean the environment too. I think everybody wants the same thing there. Look, I'm not talking about global warming, people. These relatives aren't, that's not, climate change, I don't think, is their thing. It's protecting rivers, streams, the air, things like that while we journey through life. So it's pretty interesting to see. And I would question, is Valpo so far right that they're left? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. No surprise here, Facebook doubled the number of items they removed in the fourth quarter of 2020 compared to the year earlier. So they doubled the number of things that they took off Facebook for the election. That's October, November, December. So clearly 5 weeks of that is leading up to the election, and they doubled the number of things removed. My guess is they slowed the number of things they removed after the election. That doubling doesn't really tell the story, that they probably quadrupled what they did in October and the first week of November. That's my guess. That's what Facebook does. And of course, that's because of the election. There's a lot of stuff going on in social media and some right-wing media outlets that Joe Biden is now responsible for 60,000 deaths in just 3 weeks on the job, that he is solely responsible for the 60,000 deaths, that he has blood on his hands, that he is the man that has killed these 60,000 people of COVID. Of course, you're not hearing that on CNN or MSNBC or New York Times or Washington Post or any of those places. Nope, but I do think there is a little tongue-in-cheek humor here about a very serious and dire thing, and that is people dying, that is worth discussing. If Trump was responsible for the deaths, isn't Biden responsible for the 60,000 people that have died in 3 weeks? Biden's response about the vaccine rollout, which he is botching almost completely, is, quote, my predecessor, to be very blunt about it, did not do his job in getting ready for the massive challenge. So Biden, 3 weeks in, is blaming Trump for the rollout problems. That's a joke. Nobody moved things faster or did better than Donald Trump on earth. In any country, anywhere, you can challenge this with facts. You can support it with facts. People can challenge it if they want, but you can support it with facts. Nobody on earth, anywhere, did more for the virus, the vaccine, getting this under control, converting factories to ventilator productions, converting Navy ships into hospitals that we didn't need, all of the things we didn't ever use the ventilators that we built. We never used them. We did it because the media was going crazy. It was a response to the media. It was a response to the overblown, the world is ending reaction of the media. We overdid it. Trump overdid everything. He overdid everything. These people went from, This is the most unbelievable part. They went from, I ain't taking that vaccine. Trump's rushed that. This is Trump's vaccine and we're not taking it. To now, they want to force you to take it. They want to make it like mandatory for everyone to take the vaccine. If they could find a way to put that needle in every American's arm, they would. They want control and they want everyone to take the vaccine. Now they don't really want you to have the right to not take it. Which I think it's a simple American question. Do you want it or do you not want it? Take it or don't take it. You're an American. You get to make that choice. It's available. Everyone by April, they're saying now, everyone in the country by April will have had the chance to get the vaccine in the United States. That's a hell of a deal. From the day they found out about COVID-19 until the day everybody in America that wants to be vaccinated is vaccinated, We're looking at about 14 months. That is just remarkable. That's unprecedented in the history of the world. And Biden's blaming Trump for the vaccine rollout? Well, it's on you now. You've got UPS, you got FedEx. Hey, how about you take the National Guard people around the Capitol and you load up a whole bunch of trucks and you find the 20 million doses of the vaccine that you lost and you send those trucks all over and deliver the vaccine to hospitals and doctor's offices. Get them the hell out of the Capitol. Give them something that makes them feel good about what they're doing, that they're making a difference. There's an idea. Don't blame Trump. Here's the true numbers. 60,000 deaths in 3 weeks. Yeah, we can blame Biden for that. They blame Trump. I'm not going to. I think it's absurd. But I'm pretty consistent in these things. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, I just like to tell the truth. What is the truth? And I don't like a whole bunch of hyperbole. I don't want it. The truth is about 6% of deaths in America are COVID only. So of 60,000 deaths, we're talking about 1,000 per week. Joe Biden's a little over 3,000. About 3,200, right? 3,300? So Joe Biden's got about 3,300 actual COVID-only deaths in his time in office. But they don't want to report that. They should start reporting that. They should absolutely flip, just like they flipped about the vaccine, from I'm scared to take it, this is Trump's vaccine, I'm not sure I want it, Trump did this, because that's how they scared you in the election, to now we want to force you to take it. I mean, they're so blatantly hypocritical and contradict themselves, it's scary. And again, not enough people pay attention, but this is the stuff you have to spread the word. These are the people that said, don't take the vaccine because it's Trump's and it's dangerous and we haven't had enough time. And now Trump's gone, so they don't need that line anymore. They want to make you take it. That is an incredible reversal. That's not quite as bad as we can't have a border wall and we're going to let illegal aliens in without COVID tests, but we're going to build a wall around the Capitol and guard it with the National Guard. And if an American leaves the country, we're going to test them when they come back in. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's rampant. It's rampant. But the vaccine is the same way. They said, don't take it. That's a Trump vaccine. It's dangerous. And now they're saying, everybody must take it. And you're not a patriotic American if you don't take it. God, it's unbelievable they get away with this stuff. I mean, it is just truly remarkable that people buy this. But they do. They do. So, again, we're running about 6% of COVID deaths. This accounting of the numbers is just a joke. 6%. It's about 1,000 per week. Folks, right now, 1,000 deaths per week to COVID is about what die of the flu. That'd be 52,000 deaths a year is where we are now with COVID because we have treatments, we have a vaccine, some people have had it. So real COVID deaths. Like you thought you were healthy or whatever, you don't have anything else. You got COVID. Like, I just had a physical a few weeks ago, and I'm healthy as a horse. So, like, that would be like me getting COVID right now and dying. Okay? So, of all the people that have COVID and died, only 6% that happened to. They didn't have anything else. They just got COVID and died. It's a really low number. We're tracking about 50,000 deaths a year, which is terrible. We'd like that to be zero, but 50,000 deaths a year in the United States is not something people freak out about. It's certainly not something you change society over. It's about the number of flu deaths that we have. And we never freaked out over that, near as I can tell. In our heads exploding department, Jim Acosta from CNN is right at the top of the list. He can't believe that Donald Trump is playing golf during the impeachment. A lot of them can't believe it. A lot of the liberals just simply can't believe that Trump is out playing golf in Florida while the impeachment's going on. And my response to that is, why wouldn't you be playing golf? Why, if you're Trump, why would you watch any of this? You know what you said. You know you said not violent. You know that you tweeted when it happened to get out and stop and don't be violent and support the police. We're on their side. You know all this stuff. You know this is a political hit job. You know the first impeachment was a political hit job. And you know when this fails, they're going to circle back with this 14th Amendment crap where they're going to try to have some vote. They don't want him to run for office again. You know what? If they left him alone, Trump might have been likely to just go retire and not run again and be a kingmaker and support this candidate and that candidate. If they keep this up against Trump, they're going to force him to run. They're going to force his hand. They don't want him to run. They want to make it against the law for him to run for president of the United States again. They are scared to death of this guy. They're scared to death because they know what is in Americans' hearts and minds. And they know if these states get a handle on this ridiculous mail-in voter fraud that we had. And it was fraud. Whether the numbers add up or not, it's fraud. The fact that we had a virus and we sent tens of millions of ballots out to people who didn't request them, and then people went to their homes and got those ballots for them and returned them. You didn't have to return your own ballot. You didn't have to mail it. You didn't have to put it in a box. You didn't have to do anything. Somebody could knock on your door and say, did you get a ballot? Let me help you fill that out and I'll turn it in for you. That's voter fraud. I don't care what anybody says. There's no laws on the books that says you can do that. So we got to get back to at least where it was before the virus, to where we don't send 25 million mail-in ballots out there to people who have no intention of voting. None. And probably shouldn't. If you're not paying attention to what's going on and you're willing to let somebody knock on your door and help you with your vote, then you shouldn't be voting. You have the right to. I understand the law and I believe in the rights. And I'll protect those rights. But that's not a free and democratic society. And that is, to me, against the law. So if that's gone in 2024, Trump's going to win. I think everybody knows that he'd win. Plus, we're going to watch all this stuff fall apart the next 4 years. People are going to go, hell no. We want to get back to the economy we had. We liked it before. I want my job back. I want this. They're scared to death of him. They are just completely scared to death of him. And they can't believe this is how disenfranchised they are or disengaged they are with the American public. I would think if you polled most Americans and they said, you know, what are your thoughts about Donald Trump playing golf while the impeachment thing is going on? Most people would say, he earned it. Go play golf. Because Americans know this thing is a total sham, and I'm not going to waste any time on this podcast on it. We are brought to you today by Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations in Kansas City. First appointment is free at Fry Ortho. Call Dr. Jeremy and his staff at 913-469-9191 to schedule that consultation. It is free if you mention KKHI. You can also log on to fryorthodontics.com and find out more about their locations, the services they provide. I can only tell you this. My daughter had braces at Fry Orthodontics many years ago, and the experience she had was just top-notch. They were so gentle and so positive, and it was really important. I want to say she was 13 or 14, and just the positivity and the fun that oozed at the Fry Ortho location that we visited was just tremendous. And really, if it's your kid, that's what it's all about. Or your grandkid. If you got grandchildren you want to recommend to your own children, where they may consider sending their kids, Fry Orthodontics is the best. They're just the best anywhere. And Dr. Jeremy loves the podcast. I'll just tell you that. And again, this is part of the deal we're talking about. You know, do business with people like us. It's important. It is an important thing. Fry Orthodontics. Your smile is just the start. Joslyn's Jewelry, man, you are short on time. Sunday is Valentine's Day. You better get your butt moving to Joslyn's Jewelry. That's all I'm going to tell you. They got great stuff in there. Some low price points. Maybe you want to get something real shiny and nice. They've got that as well. This is obviously not as big as a birthday or Christmas or something like that. But if you're a Valentine's type person, you know she doesn't want the chocolates and you know the flowers die. Whew, by the time you buy chocolates and flowers, you could be looking at $75. Go on into Joslyn's. See if you can find a little chain or something shiny that she may like better instead. They'll put it in a real nice box and wrap it up for you, and you'll be a hero. Joslyn's Jewelry, mention KKHI when you go in there. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Buck Roofing is online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck's going to put the roof on my new house. If we ever get there, the weather has stalled the production in the building of the Keatsman house, which is okay. I can live with that. We'll just, you know, a few more weeks here in the old rental property. It's all good. So Buck Roofing is, I wouldn't even consider anybody else to put the roof on. I just wouldn't. I trust Ron. I trust his team. He put the roof on my old house. He's done it for so many friends. I can't tell you the wonderful emails, the number of people who email me and talk about the work that Ron does, how courteous his crews are, how they do what they say they're going to do for the price they say. They're really that good. They really are. So consider a free roof inspection this spring. After a long winter, you might want to get some stuff checked out. Just give them a call at Buck Roofing. They'll give you a free inspection if you mention the podcast. 913-384-2680. And sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. In sports, Kansas rolls over Iowa State 30-some points, right? Big win. How is Iowa State worse than K-State? I hadn't even asked myself that question this year, and we're watching the game last night. My wife asked me that. How is Iowa State worse than K-State? I don't know how Iowa State got this bad. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know. I don't know how K-State got this bad. A couple of years ago, they were Big 12 champs. But they did. K KU is getting better, but it's really hard to gauge right now. They beat Oklahoma State in a sloppy first half the other night, but then a good second half. They looked terrific all night last night. Bryce Thompson returned from injury. That helps. Everybody helps for KU right now. Every single body helps, and they're getting better. But we got to be careful not to fall in a trap that they're getting better by beating Oklahoma State at home, then Iowa State again, and then Kansas State. That's what their schedule is. So they're going to fatten up here. They're going to have at least the four-game winning streak, and we knew that after they lost to West Virginia. You could look at the schedule and say they're winning the next four. Then it gets tough at the end. So I don't know what that is, but I've been projecting here all season we could be on a collision course with the NCAA tournament around two-game of KUMU. I think this is the year it happens. Now Jerry Palm is on board. Jerry Palm last week had Missouri a 2, KU a 7. Well, that can change very quickly to be a 3 and a 6 right now. Missouri lost, KU's winning. I think it would not be unthinkable for them to wind up being 4-5. I think that's possible. Now, you got to go win your first game, and then you play each other. I don't know why. The NCAA tournament needs help. Man, do they need help this year. They're going to need help. They're going to need every one of these things they can, and they say they don't seed these things this way. They should. They're in the entertainment business because they have a massive television contract, and a Missouri-Kansas second-round game would be fantastic. Here's the only question I have. If you're a Missouri fan, you've played some great games this year, and you've played some duds, and KU is down this year. Do you want that game in this tournament? Do you want to play Kansas in the NCAA tournament? You have the experience on them. You know that. Do you want to play them? Or is it better to play them when they're a one seed and you're a 4 or 5? Is that the better way to do it, to come in the underdog? Because, oh my gosh, how much would it hurt for Missouri to finally, after all these years having left and complaining that they wouldn't play them and you're petty and all this infighting, all this crap, that you finally play them and you're the favorite and you get knocked off. That would suck so bad. I think the big question for Missouri fans is, do you want to play Kansas in the tournament? Are you confident enough in this Missouri Tiger team this year that you want Kansas in the tournament? That you want a pound of flesh, you're ready to go get them, and you want this. Do you really want that? I think the biggest issue in that game is if Kansas is getting better, and they are, I don't think anybody, I'm not saying anything controversial, that Bill Self is a better coach than Konzo Martin. He's a better game coach than Konzo Martin. And that's, to me, the wild card in that matchup. Will Bill Self be much more prepared and have his team prepared for what Missouri does than the other way around? And will he just flat out coach a better game that day? And I think it's a dangerous thing. I'm a little weird, man. I'm thinking if I'm a Missouri fan, I don't want to play KU in the tournament. Just give me my 3 or 4 seed. Let me go play and see what happens, but I really don't want any part of Kansas this time of year. We'll play at Allen Fieldhouse in the fall. I don't think I'd want it. KU is going to win 4 in a row right now before their schedule gets tougher again at the end. 1:30 Sunday is the Daytona 500. I like NASCAR. I still like NASCAR. I'm not an avid NASCAR fan, but I like it. I watch the Daytona 500. I know what it means to the drivers, the teams. The sport's bizarre that it means more in the beginning than it does at the end. There's a lot of things about NASCAR that are different than other sports. Chase Elliott is the defending champion of the circuit, and Denny Hamlin is the favorite to win Sunday in the Daytona 500. He's the guy in the Domino's commercial where the cute little girl says, "Hey, Hamlin, I love your PJs." So Hamlin's going to be in his PJs, and he's the favorite to win this thing. Here's what's funny. Denny Hamlin works for Joe Gibbs Racing. He drives and works for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's the favorite to win. He's also co-owner with Michael Jordan of a racing team called 23X1. I don't know if it's pronounced 23 times 1 or 23X1. But Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin are the co-owners. And Bubba Wallace, the only black driver in the circuit, is their driver. And Michael Jordan has always liked NASCAR. He's been in North Carolina for, you know, much of his life, pretty much his whole life, except when he lived in Chicago. It's his home. It's what he loves. NASCAR is part of the culture there. And he loves NASCAR. And this is great for diversity in the sport. And it's great that Jordan and Hamlin have teamed up to own their own team. And it's great that Bubba Wallace he's sixth this week in the start. He's starting sixth on the grid, but he's not anywhere near one of the favorites. I think he's like the 18th favorite driver in this race. Bubba Wallace hasn't won a lot. The fact that Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin can bring so much profile to this team and get sponsors and such will give them the opportunity to have a lot of money to build a real race team. But what sport allows a guy to own a team that he doesn't play for? Can you imagine if Patrick Mahomes made so much money that he owned part of the Los Angeles Chargers. The Patrick Mahomes had so much money that he was co-owner of the Chargers, but played for the Chiefs. Can you even imagine that? Can you imagine any other sport that would allow that? What would you think if Mahomes lost to the Chargers? If he co-owned the Chargers and worked for the Chiefs, played for the Chiefs, and he lost to the Chargers, what would you think? And what does this do on the track when Hamlin and Wallace are racing? Do they just consider him at this point a teammate and part of Joe Gibbs? I guess they probably do. There are teammates in racing. So I think Hamlin probably looks at Bubba Wallace as one of his teammates, which I always just find bizarre about this sport. But it's starting up, and I think it's good for the sport. Michael Jordan is involved, Denny Hamlin. They own the 23X1 race team, and that is Bubba Wallace. And as long as Bubba Wallace doesn't make up a bunch of crap, because I didn't like that noose in the garage story, that was fake news. It was BS from the start. It was a pull rope to close the garage door, and I think anybody could see. Once they saw it wasn't hanging up front by the tools, that it was like hanging on the door, and you pull this to pull the door down, I think anybody would understand that that was not some racist thing. And it was a random garage anyway, and the rope had been there the fall before. That was a really bad story for Bubba Wallace. He survived it because their cause is on the left, and so they survived it. But it was almost like the Jesse Smollett thing, you know, when you see these fake things that happen and you get compared to it. The Kansas City Monarchs are a minor league baseball team in Kansas City, formerly known as the Kansas City T-Bones. They're going to play this year. They have signed Christian Colon, World Series hero. Christian Colon, the former Royal, is only 31 years old. Christian Colon batted 130 in 11 games last year with the Reds. So he is not affiliated with Major League Baseball anymore. He's going to come play with the T-Bones. 31's nothing. Colon can play at 31. You may remember in the 12th inning of Game 5 of the World Series, his single gave the Royals the lead. Colon had a huge hit in that game. Also in the 12th inning of the wild card game the year before in 2014, he got a base hit to tie the game and then was on base, stole second, and scored when Salvi hit the ball down the left field line on the single that Salvi had just inside the bag on at third base. Christian Colon scored the winning run in the wild card game, which propelled the Royals then on to the World Series. So I would say this. If the Monarchs really want Christian Colon to be a valuable part of their team, they need to petition the league to play 12-inning games. Because Christian Colon in the 12th inning has really been something. I think it's a good draw. I think it'll be fun to watch him play. I would think, although he hit 130 in 11 games last year, it's not a big sample. He's never a great hitter. He just got big hits, which is what happens in the postseason. Anytime in the postseason that you win something, somebody steps up and plays really well that you don't expect it. And helps you get across the finish line to become a champion. You see that all the time. In the case of Tampa this week, their defense played the best game of their life. Ever. That helps. That wasn't all Tom Brady, right? So Christian Colon was a big part of this. It's kind of cool. I don't know what he'll do playing for the Monarchs. I would think the level of pitching that he's going to see is so incredibly different than what he was seeing in the major leagues last year. I mean, my guess is the guy should go out and hit 300, shouldn't he? I would think. There you go. You want to watch some baseball this spring? I don't think they'll say fun, well done anymore. I'm not sure exactly what their moniker is, but the Kansas City Monarchs rebranded. The T-Bones are rebranded. They are now the Kansas City Monarchs, and Christian Colon is part of that team. There you go. All right, we'll have a weekend edition of KKHI up. I have reached out to Junior. I still want to do a podcast with him and have him on and talk to him about the time we went to the Super Bowl. We were going to do that last weekend, but then the Britt Reid news happened, and so that didn't materialize, but we're going to do that sometime soon. Maybe he does something on his own this weekend. Maybe I post something else or do something with him. But we'll have another podcast up at some point this week. I thank you very much for listening. Many of you are telling your friends to hit that follow or subscribe button. If you're listening for the first time, if you could right now, just stop what you're doing. Grab your phone if you listen on your phone. Grab your mouse if you're on a desktop. However you listen, pull over on the side of the road, wherever you do, whatever, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, Spotify, hit the subscribe or follow button. I've been reading more and more about the industry. This is everything for a podcast. Follow, subscribe. That is a very, 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 very important thing for every podcast. It is free. Not asking for money. If you want to become a patron, you can do that. You can go to kkhasissues.com. There's extra podcasts there. There's a weekly newsletter. There's lots of stuff for the patrons and the patron content there. There's the Between the Lines 2.0 with myself and Danny Klinkskill every week. You can do that. I'm not asking you for the $5 a month, okay? If you want to help, if you like the podcast, please hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen. If you want to rate it and give us 5 stars, that's awesome too. That's up to you. That's up to you. But the follow, subscribe is free. And please have folks in your family do that. If you got people in your family, you got a spouse, grab her phone and say, hey, there's this cool podcast. And I'm going to set you up here with Apple Podcasts. And I'm going to hit the follow or subscribe and put them on there. Have them do that. They'll get some notifications. They may start to listen. This is another good way to spread the word of what you believe. If you can hit that follow or subscribe button, that's as good as going on social media. It's going to branch out. It's going to reach people. If you run into somebody, if it comes up, hey, I heard this dude, podcast boy, was doing his thing. You know, pod boy was on doing his thing. And the guy says, well, that sounds kind of interesting. Well, here, let me show you. It's right here. This is the name of it. And hit that follow button. Help me out, man. That's where it really is the follow and subscribe button. I sure could use your help there. That would be incredible. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend and stay warm. Those of you that are listening in the Midwest and those that are listening around the country and around the world, I know you're there. I see where you are. I see where you're listening. And I really appreciate you. I don't know what all your circumstances are. If you listen internationally or from California or Texas or something like that, feel free to shoot me an email. I'd love to hear your story about why you live there and are listening there and why you listen to this podcast. I would love to hear from people that are not anywhere in the Midwest. Kevin@kkhasissues.com. is the email address. Real simple. Shoot me an email if you listen internationally or somewhere far, far away from the Midwest. Kevin@kkhasissues.com. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.